Black are gold pants, 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 black podcast.
Episode 20 of Black Heart Gold Podcast, the Big 2-0. Hawkeye State joined by Oops Fowl Surprise. Oops, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks a lot, sir. It's a milestone for us this
week. It is. And much like the Circle of Life and the Lion King, we return back to podcast one with friend of the program, depth chart reader extraordinaire, the Gazette's own Mark Morehouse. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. Appreciate it. 20. Where's the time gone?
You know, when you joined us for episode one, did you really think we would ever come back here for 20?
Yeah, why not? I mean, people seem to dig it. I still haven't figured out podcasts. I think that's going to be my assignment this winter. The old man is going to figure out podcasts. Actually, if Halas can do it, I can do it. So.
There you go. Well, hopefully you'll come across much clearer than last time. I think last time we had you coming in live from a underwater prison in Tehran. So
they have lots of voice.
Yes, there's a lot of water in Tehran.
I'll use my broadcast voice this time.
There we go. We have told our listeners in Gadsden we would refer to you as Marco Mascasa. just sticking that out of the way.
I got that in Spanish from high school. Yes.
There you go. Well, Mark's joined us because it's never too early to start talking 2010. He's been doing his depth chart previews basically one a day here for the last week or so. And so we thought we'd bring him in and discuss, what could be a very interesting season, even though it's still a solid 8 months away. And I guess, I mean, clearly there's not much of an issue at quarterback, so we're going to jump past that and go straight to running back. Mark, I was going to have just a bevy of running backs, and most of them are going to be sophomores. Hampton should come back healthy if all things go correctly. You've still got Robinson, Wager, Brinson, if he ever, you know, finds a way to get healthy for an extended period of time, and all of the redshirt freshmen and the incoming freshmen as well. How do you see the running back situation shaking out?
Well, wow, that's a tough year off the bat. I tell you what, I really like the way Wager finished the year. I thought he, you could argue that he hit sort of a freshman wall after Wisconsin. I think his yards per carry about that point was 3.3. He ended the season with a 4.0. I don't know about grades, but yardage, he was averaged 4 yards a carry, which was a heck of an improvement. Showed me he found his legs late in the year. He had more 100-yard games than Robinson. And, you know, he basically finished out Georgia Tech in the Orange Bowl. So he really ended the season on the uptick and kind of opened my eyes. I know fans want to quickly move him around. And, you know, I can see that because you look at him and you think, well, why can't he be Wes Welker? That's just sort of an interesting thing. You know, it's I don't think Welker has played this first. But, well, what you guys had this discussion already?
No. It's just that you found the one white guy in the backfield and you compared him to the one white wide receiver in the NFL.
Well,
it happens all the time. So.
But that's what fans want. They look at him and they push him in the slot receiver. He was recruited as a running back to Iowa, and that's you know, that's what part of the reason why he came here. And I really think let the kid play running back until he proves he can't. And he certainly has not done that. He's not played himself out of this at all. He's averaged yards per carry 4.0, 8 touchdowns, very productive, nice hands on the backfield. And he was really pieces together there. You guys saw Ohio State. He had some shot to the ribs and it didn't take. So he comes back and I think he's sort of my one right now. And he's sort of unseated Adam Robinson because I really had him pegged as number one. Because of what he did at Ohio State, you know, he came off the high ankle sprain and really showed me something. I think 75 yards against, the best running defense in the Big Ten. And then, you guys ever get the internet rumor that Jewel Hampton was around 400 pounds in his rehab. Did you guys ever see that? He looked great. He looked great.
Yeah, I was just gonna say. In that picture that you ran in your nine tailback things, he looks jacked as shit.
He has abs. And he's ready to go. And you know what? He's going to be the most hungry guy of that group, because if you look at it, and a lot of the readers who responded, it kind of brought me to this point. He has the most to prove. I mean, he didn't do a lot last year. I mean, he did okay. He ran behind a better offensive line, you could argue, in the 2008 versus the 2009. And he had Sean Green bashing the hell out of defenses for three and a half quarters or three quarters. Then he would come in and he would gain his yards. So really, he probably comes in, he definitely comes in with a lesser resume than either Robinson or Wager at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be very, very hungry. He has abs, so watch out, world. After that, you guys are right. I think Brinson is a guy who is very, very interesting, because he's a big body. He's the closest to Sean Green, I think, is what Iowa has right now. He's got a really bad ankle, though. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was sort of dovetailing in there. You keep wanting things to just go well for him once. It was asthma and then the ankle, and then didn't he have like a back thing that he had to get fixed
or something?
Was it just his ankle?
Ankle or foot, one of the two.
Yeah.
I think he had some surgery, and he was limping through some sprints down at the Orange Bowl, so I don't think he's 100% back yet, but maybe he will be by spring. And I really think, you know, I hate to say, oh, you got to move a guy to fullback, you got to, a guy to transfer, move the linebacker, whatever, because, you know, you're messing with kids' hopes and dreams, and I don't really know. I'm not the one watching the film of every practice. I just report what I've seen. I think if it all comes together, he's a very, very interesting prospect. And then after that, I think Marcus Coker is very, he's 6'1", 220 already.
He's going to be fun
to watch.
Sorry to cut you off there, Mark.
No problem.
I loved how the recruiting sites dealt with Coker, who was a two-star diamond in the rough type that had offers from Iowa, Minnesota, and Wake Forest, and Minnesota and Wake Forest wanted him as a fullback. And then he blew up the entire Eastern Seaboard this year, and now is suddenly like this four-star find for Iowa.
You guys, your attitude. You got to state your attitude toward recruiting is.
Caring is creepy.
It's creepy.
And it is. Things get skewed pretty quickly, I think, in recruiting. I think guys blow up for whatever reason. But what I like about this guy, what I think maybe puts some legitimacy to whatever stars he's got, 4, 9, I don't know, sure, whatever, whatever the star of Bethlehem, I don't know which star he's got, but he's 6'1", 220, 225. I really, that right there is, you can't coach that, you can't goof that up, and anybody can see that, and he's a big dude, and he could be, I keep saying the next round green, that is just totally not fair to anybody. You know, because we've all seen he's going to be an All-Pro next year. So he's a green type body. He's taller than Sean, as thick as Sean. So we'll see with him. I believe Josh Brown has transferred to
Murray State. Yeah.
I've been trying to track that down the last couple of days. That's some stuff on the message boards. Hawkeye Report actually is also kind of reporting that. I think they are reporting that. But that's something I'm trying to track down. It sounds like he's gone. And this is going to weed itself out. I mean, 9 running backs is going to weed itself out. Either transfer, you know, and there's academics, and then there's injury. And one way or the other, I think if Iowa goes into the fall with 5 guys that they can trust, and that's a good number, I think.
Yeah. Before we get too far off the subject, somebody asked me this last week, and I didn't have an answer for them. Is Jewel Hampton going to be healthy, participating in practices for the spring, or is it going to be more of a summer?
I don't know. I bet they hold him out for spring, because with running back, I mean, I don't think a running back's been tackled at Iowa in a practice situation for several years now, since they went through that trauma of 2004. And I don't see him in the spring. I think they'll probably wait until fall.
I, for one, if we don't go into August with Pocky O'Mara and the two deep, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
I added him to running back kind of knowing that it's not really true. I mean, everything that needs to be said was said when he never got another carry that mattered after Northern Iowa. Yeah. And that was that. You know, a good special teamer, it'll never come to him again in the backfield, though.
Now, Mark, is there any concern over, I don't think there really was during the season after a few games, but is there any concern with the coaching staff that you know of over pass protection from Wager or Robinson or, for that matter, Hampton?
No, as far as I know, they got pretty good grades in that area. And one, I think the Orange Bowl on McNutt's touchdown pass, he was joking with the other Iowa media, the big Georgia Tech defensive tackle broke through the line, and this kid, oh, my God, this kid didn't know how to, he didn't speak English. He was at the media thing, and he could barely put three words together. I think his last name is Logan. Anyway, he was horrible. And Wager picked him up on a I don't know how he came free, but, you know, they let a 280-pound defensive tackle free. It's Wager, between Wager and he's in a kill Stanzi, Wager stepped in and pancaked him. So this is a good example of what those guys did up there with that stuff.
Now, I'm just happy that he'll probably be in the two deep, because if he's not, then we'll probably get an article from the Sioux City newspaper talking about how the internet is trying to kill him.
You guys went out. You guys went medieval on that. That was good stuff.
Hawkeye State found it, sent it to both me and Ross, and we both had the same inclination, which was just must shred now.
Well, I didn't see who wrote it yet. I know that it got some.
We don't know. We think it was his mom.
I didn't see a byline on it yet, but I know there's some old. I mean, that's almost like I hate to Sioux City. I don't know if it even counts.
We'll leave that one at that.
And with that, we can go to receiver. only one receiver off the depth chart, Trey Strauss.
Troy Strauss.
Smith. it should be an interesting depth chart. I mean, obviously, I think DJK and McNutt will be the likely starter. Sandeman came on strong. He'll be going into his senior year. Chaney should be back from injury, we hope. And they used him in any number of ways during the first half of the season when he was healthy.
Is he coming back, Mark?
Yeah, I think so. He was in the doghouse last year, sophomore year. Came back last year as a really trusted player. They tried to give him the ball a lot of different ways. They started him on a punt return and then the injury. I think he'll come back. He'll be, I'm not sure, you know, knees are weird. He's a sprinter on the track team. He looked okay. He looked like he got on his way back down in, I keep saying Orlando, but Miami. And I think he'll be all right. I think he'll play. I think Sandeman is one of the Big Ten's best punt return guys. He finished number two in the Big Ten in that category.
Did he really?
Yeah, that's surprising because, you know, he only did it 12 times, but I think he averaged 9 yards kick return. He needed to catch a few more, I think, in the Orange Bowl. But he's an interesting prospect. I mean, he's a fully built fifth-year senior. No, he's only a fourth-year senior. and then you have DJK, who is setting up, you know, next year is setting up to be
the best
clinical year. I mean, he could be the all-time receptions and all-time receiving yardage leader in Iowa history with
and touchdowns, right?
Yeah, I don't think he'll get touchdowns. 20 touchdowns is 21. I think he's only at about 7 or so.
It could still happen.
Yeah, you're right. It could still. You're
blows
right.
Up
you're
like right. Moss.
You're right. He needs 31. I think 31 receptions and 401 yards to break both those records, and that's certainly, you know, he's done that every year he's been here. So, you know, he should break both those records.
Fingers crossed.
And then McNutt, who I think you guys were higher on him when we talked last time than I was. I was like, okay, let's wait and see what this guy has. And man, 6'4", his hands. I think for TV purposes, I held my hand up to his once, and it was like, you know, a golf, you know, the football looks like a golf ball in his hands, you know.
Yeah.
And with that, he's got a great vertical. He is 6'4". He's really come on, and I think he'll be, you know, DJK better put that record up there pretty high. And then the guy that I think the fans are probably whine about the most is Keenan Davis. He didn't really do much, if anything, this year. And but I think of that, I think, you know, the theory there, I think from what I've seen Coach Iowa do in the past, is the theory there, he'll come back, he'll know what it's like to be in the bleep, and he'll come back a bit smarter and stronger next year. That's the thinking, you know, whether, you know, it's up to the ball's in his court whether that happens or not. And then, there's one other guy I'm blanking on.
Jordan Cotton, maybe?
Yeah, Jordan Cotton. I mean, he's, you know, the light comes on for him this year. He's 6'1", 170, a little light, but I think he should help. Although he's coming from a spot where he was mostly running back down at Mount Pleasant. And he'll have to learn how to play wide receiver, kind of what DJK sort of went through. Well, there's one other guy. They got the Cavonte Martin
Manley.
Manley, yeah, that's it. KMM is what
I'm calling it. We're already preparing the Who's the Manly t-shirts, believe me.
And I was already preparing the C&D letters.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. As long as didn't Shields get away with something?
Shields got away with stealing our idea. Thank you very much. Mm.
Yeah, they had some different Manzy shirt, but
they do.
You know, 6 months after we did it, fuckers,
we're innovators.
How come the university isn't saying, you know?
As long as you don't put the actual word Stanzy in it, I think you're okay.
Oh, yeah.
We got hit for Stanzy as the Manzy, and I have that letter framed in my office. But I got Fred Mims to write Stanzy as the Manzy on university letterhead.
Yeah,
but. Who's the Manzy is still okay, so I guess.
I would have bought an American Stanzy T-shirt. That tangent is the weirdest thing going, I think, and it shows you kind of a little bit about his personality. I think it's hilarious.
It is pretty damn funny. I'll give you that. But the question I have mostly for T-shirt sales is JoJo Pregant going to make his way in there? Because the possibilities there are endless.
Well, you know what? On all seriousness, he did. He is 6'6", 210. You know, that's how basically Scott Chandler started. Mm-hmm. And Iowa kind of had to wrestle with Wisconsin to get him to walk on from Janesville. So I think he's more than just a throw-in. I think that they have some plans for him, or they went through a lot of effort to bring him in. So I think that you know, they got something planned for him. I don't know. I don't know if it's T-shirt worthy, but something in there. And then if you guys on the subject receivers, tight end is they've got 7 tight ends, scholarship tight ends. So someone's got to go there. Someone's got to go to play offensive line, defensive line, whatever.
Well, that's how they always do it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, 7 seems low at this point.
I was going to ask you this, Mark. I remember from last year's recruiting videos, and I know that they're usually highlight films, and they're kind of skewed one way or the other.
You mean edited by their mom and dad?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
We had a kid when I went to high school with one time who thought he could be walking on somewhere, and so he had a highlight video made, and it was just him holding over and over and over again. And his dad would come up and be like, hey, can I get a clip of that? And that was always Jenny. But anyway, the video that I always remember was Jonathan Gims, who's basically, I think, buried at tight end, but his entire video was just him blocking. Is there consideration, at least at this point, of moving him into the line if he can put on a few pounds?
I think more likely, and I don't think I counted him among the 7 scholarship tight ends, because he ended up playing more fullback than anything else. And I think that's where he's at right now. I think he's number 93 at fullback. And, you know, I don't know if he breaks through there. I thought Brett Morse had a terrific year and really showed me something, especially in the Orange Bowl. He showed a lot of range, and he really has that knack for moving the linebacker, which, you know, anyway, he was really good at that. And I don't know if there's much, you know, room at the end at fullback either, because then they have Leppert, and then they have Jacob Bryson's there. And so there's, you know, it's quite a bit of competition. And usually it's not a scholarship guy. They have 4 scholarship fullbacks right now, it sounds like. So That, you know, that could be a spot for maybe one or two guys on the tight end list. I think I look at J.D. Griggs and, you know, that guy is, he's got a body that needs to be on the field somewhere. I don't know what his football sense is like. I don't know what his dimensions are as far as speed and strength, but man, he's all 6'5" and all 250. And, I see to me, he's a candidate for a defensive end, something, or maybe even, offensive tackle. He's a big dude. And then another guy who could move, maybe, I hate to say this, but Fedor Lewis is already 6'7", 245. I mean, if he comes in and gets Doyleized, he could be a left
tackle. Would he want to do that, though?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think he's a legit tight end. I think he'll play next year.
Yeah, and I had always heard that sort of the knock on him was that for his size, he didn't really initiate contact as much as he ought to when he was in high school.
Yeah.
So it seems like putting him into a more contact-heavy position, you know, might not be the best way to get him on the field ASAP. But, I mean, you're right. 6'7", 250. I mean, come on.
Already. Yeah, without even having foot on campus. Depending on his wheels are, I think he plays next year. And now how he does with real contact against, you know, he could be conceivably blocking a guy like Claiborne next year. So, you know, there's no Claibornes out there in Northern Illinois football. How he does there depends on, you know, if he plays or not. But I just have a hunch that he'll see the field, because right now you have Reisner, who's only ever had number two touches at tight end. I think he'll get he'll be number one. And then you have Brad Herman, who, you know, I'm not sure if he's got the blocking chops to be the number two tight end. We're getting pretty minute here, but I think Fedorowicz has a little bit of what you need to, you know, maybe crack the lineup, and we'll see there.
I hate to even bring it up because we could be here for days on this one, but the offensive line.
I have to finish that one tonight yet.
Yeah,
you guys can tell me who the right tackle is. That'd be great.
This is it. I think it's Orney. I from everything I hear, I think they want to play him.
You don't think it's going to be the Zukesevich Giffen?
The Mad Russian?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm not sure what his nationality, but you know what? His claim to fame in high school, he was great. He was a pretty good football player. But he was also an outside hitter on a 4-year letter winner in volleyball as an outside hitter.
Get that guy on the field.
He's an athlete. He obviously can jump. I think right now he's, you know, I have it between Orn and Zusevich right now at right tackle with maybe a, depending how the weight room does for him, a guy like Nolan McMillan maybe popping in there too.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard lots of things about McMillan
too. 6'6", 288. He wasn't practicing at the Orange Bowl, so he's got some sort of injuries getting over with right now. But he almost was in redshirt this year, so he did some good things in camp. I did see him get run over a couple times by Claiborne in the fall scrimmage thingy. But that'll happen to him. That happens to hell. That probably happened to Balaga a couple times, so there's no shame in that. And then who else? Mandeville, you know, he got benched for a little while this year. Let's face it, after Arkansas State, they went to Dace there, and then they had Reef at the other guard. He was benched for, I'll say this: they were in a rotation for three games after Arkansas State. And he, I don't want to say doghouse, but he's not.
Well, but he was the number six
guy.
Yeah.
He's going to start at either guard or center. I think he's probably going to be a guard, but I think the best thing for him personally might be to try center, because if he's going to play in the NFL, that's probably his best spot. So,
well, and isn't it always Ferentz's MO and this offense's goal is to put somebody experienced there so that they have somebody calling the blocking assignments that already knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be Josh Keppel. He'll be a fifth year senior. He's not a walk on. He's got a scholarship. He's a small size. I mean, he's 6 foot-ish, maybe 6'1", 270 maybe. You know, he's got to have a good winter. But he, you know, he lost out to Roth last year. Roth was a he was, you know, fifth year guy, and that knowledge probably worked for him. And I think that that'll probably what'll be Keith Keppel maybe ahead of James Ferentz this year. And one of those two guys could, you know, who knows, break in a guard. I don't think the door is totally shut on, you know, James Ferentz is a big winner in the weight room. You know, comes out 275-ish. Maybe he could have a shot at a guard spot. Mm-hmm. But I think the I always think that I think guard has sort of become a break-in spot for your next tackle. You know, Reef did that, Bill Belaga did that, and I could see maybe a Nolan McMillan getting some time there. You know, depending on how his winter goes, he could maybe be a guy there.
Yeah, Reef did it, Belaga did it, and Callaway did it in reverse.
Yeah, Callaway.
Tackle
games later, he's a guard. Actually, he's having a good East-West shrine thingy, from what it looks like.
Really?
Good.
Yeah,
one of the things that I've told Hawkeye State is that it seems like Kirk Ferentz's philosophy for the offensive line is that everybody at some point plays guard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even back to Mike Jones, Yanda.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about Mike Jones. Yeah, you're right. So both those guys ended up being tackles.
See?
So I would see maybe a McMillan going to guard. And maybe there's a maybe there's another guy out there who has a big winner, say Brett Van Floten, or
oh yeah,
I'm trying to think. There may be one other guy who's
Casey McMillan. Anyone?
Yeah.
I don't
Dick
have
Montana?
Him on the list. I don't have him on the list. Apparently.
Oh God.
So
I think it's a it's
only because. You don't have him on the list only because he's being converted to quarterback, right?
At the Orange Bowl, he was wearing a black jersey, a white jersey, which is what the defenses are. So I think that was a scout team thing, but I don't know. He might have moved.
So
guy
he's
you could
there to
maybe
he's
is,
the quarterback.
If you can pick up the quarterback, like he did that one poor kid, basketball player.
God rest his soul.
Another guy guard is Adam Geddes. He probably has some. He had a bad Northern Iowa game and he didn't play another really meaningful minute after that. But you know,
he got worked by you and I.
I think it was between him and Doring. It was just a bad day. I mean,
yeah.
I think Doring gave up two. Geddes I think gave up one sack, and I think Sandy was sacked four times in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Just wasn't a good day at all for the offensive line. I think that's when Belaga was the thyroid thing was sort of setting in because he was out the next week. So
yeah.
I think Geddes might have a shot, but really, I think when it comes down to it, I think it'll be offensive line will be left to right. I think it'll be Reef, Vandeville, Keppel, McMillan. And then Orn at right tackle.
So it's pronounced.
These are two guys on the right side who I've never heard before. So I mean,
yeah.
I've never really seen play much. So
it's pronounced Orn, and not Orny.
I don't know. I think it's Orn.
Oh, that's such a disappointment.
Why?
Because Woody Orny? Come on.
Well, if somebody's going to goof it up, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
He won't last 5 minutes on ESPN without an Orny getting thrown out there. And then Kim Basinger there to correct him. No, it's pronounced Ornay. It's French.
Oh, and Hunter Mark. I forgot about Hunter Mark. He moved on with the line, so I don't know what he is yet. I mean, he's 6'4", 280. Maybe he's a center. I don't know.
He's a big kid.
I got to figure it out. That's really, I mean, I saw that Fox tonight puts Iowa and Alabama in the national title game.
I was going to ask you about that at some point. I'm already writing it up.
I haven't seen it yet, but I've seen the posters out there, and I saw that John Miller from Hawkeye Nation put it out there, and I Twittered him. Well, you can name me the right tackle. Maybe I could buy this a little more, you know? Right now, I just don't see it. But I think it's an offensive line is an awful hard thing to rebuild. And look what they lost when they lost. They lost a lot of fifth-year senior bodies. And, you know, forget about skill or size or anything like that, but 5 years in the weight room is just something you can't make up time in that way. So I think that's kind of what they'll be fighting on the offensive line this year.
And And 5 years with your nose in the playbook, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, on the defensive side of the ball, defensive line shouldn't be an issue. I think that's pretty well set. but linebacker could be an absolute free-for-all. And Moose Powell and I were discussing this a couple weeks ago, what the shuffle is going to be. I think they have to get Tarpinian in the lineup somehow.
I agree.
It seems that Nielsen's been basically tailored to take the spot that Eads had on the strong side. And the question I think just becomes which one is the surer tackle, or Hunter or Tarpinian, or does someone like Troy Johnson or Bruce Davis sneak in?
Yeah, those are the names. I mean, between all those, five names, mm-hmm. they better be able to find two linebackers. And I don't think they're going to be able to replace what Eads and Anger both brought. I mean,
no.
Anger were such an instinctive player and so smart. He knew the defense so well. And then Eads, he's a Cadillac at outside linebacker. I mean, that's why people were bitching about wide receivers beating Iowa linebackers, because Eads is covering wide receivers.
Yeah.
So that went away. I think you're right. I think Nielsen gets first crack at that. And then I think Tarpinian probably gets first crack at middle linebacker. Although, Troy Johnson had basically one chance to do something this year. And he won Big Ten Player of the Week. So,
yeah, he did it.
That was pretty good. I thought he did something. He probably opened some eyes. But he's still behind Tarpinian in that depth chart. And coaches really like Tarpinian. He does a lot of smart things. He had a tough, I thought he had a tough Ohio State game.
He hurt a knee too
in that game, so I don't know when he did that, but he's an interesting player. He's very smart. I think he'll be a fifth-year senior. Two fifth-year seniors and linebackers, I think that helps. And then that basically leaves you with that eight corner spot to fill. And I think that probably be 50-50 between Bernstein and Micah Hyde right now.
Well, if Troy Johnson makes it, 2 years ago and assumed the position, I said that Troy Johnson was so buried that they were calling him Montresor. If he ends up making it the starter, I'm going to have some real trouble. So let's go Tarpinian.
I think it'll be Tarpinian. I think he can really hold the point of attack. He's bigger, no range. He's probably rangier, maybe even faster. I don't think he's faster than Anger, but. He's rangier, and I think he needs some game experience in the middle, because I think that kind of showed it at Ohio State. He lost a few angles, and Iowa gave up 225 yards, not on him, but
not all on
him. They missed the experience linebacker that game.
Sure.
I think some of it was is I think that Tarpinian was sort of getting used to the kickoff team mentality. And so he would run himself out of position quite a bit looking for that hit. And so then when that cutback hits, he's completely screwed, and that's how you get Brandon Sain running 50 yards untouched. Instead, he didn't have that same discipline and gap responsibility that you need.
And that's what Iowa defense right there, man. It's all gap responsibility. And there was nobody better in the Big Ten. Well, Ohio State, but. Really, there's nobody better in the Big Ten at that last year than, disciplined and no freelancing, and they did their thing.
Agreed.
Speaking of depth charts, though, I think that there's a little bit of question in the secondary just past whether it's going to be Bernstein or Hyde at right corner.
Well,
and,
oops.
Yes.
Don't discount the possibility that a rogue bartender could leave us with two open spots at cornerback.
That's right. You never know when alcohol is going to be put into any Coca-Cola in Iowa City.
It's a factor. It's a factor.
It's an epidemic.
It's a factor, unfortunately.
But anyway, the question I was going to ask is, do you think David Cato stays?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I think yes, so far. He's a strong safety. He's behind Tyler Sash. I think they're both juniors now.
Yeah.
He's gonna have to make a home for himself somewhere else, because Sash isn't going anywhere. Sash was pretty beat up at the end of the year, and I'm not sure I'm not sure if he'll be around for spring, but he's a guy who's going to be on the field. I mean, he's just done. He's very physical. You know, you guys look at him on the field. You know, he is put together, man. He is.
Cato?
He's a strong kid. Both Cato and Fat.
Yeah, I was going to say Cato's a big.
They're both. They're both, you know, fully qualified strong safeties. Cato. That's it. You know, because he's a guy you want on your football team.
He's a monster on the goal line.
Yeah, every time he's in there, he whooshes by you, and you go, who's that? And then you look and see it's Cato. Yeah, he's a guy you want. They got to find a place for him, and I'm not sure what that is. I really don't, because he's not a free safety, and I think Greenwood's proven himself to be a pretty important player.
Mm-hmm.
Smart and just plays pretty good positional defense. Not a big hitter. And we've had this discussion. He's not a big hitter, but
we're more.
He was a sure tackle this year, I think.
Yeah,
he's kind of a knockout artist, like you want your safeties, like everyone loved in Bob. But
I think that he made big strides in tackling this year.
Oh, I agree. I agree. And he's also a guy who, he's wearing a shoulder harness at the end of the season there.
Jeez.
He also had the neck thing. He really legitimately sprained his neck. And, you know, that's some tough stuff. But he's in there. Backup safety, I would say Swanson's probably the guy behind Greenwood right now still. And Cato is probably still behind, unless he can, maybe he switches to corner. Although if that hasn't happened yet, I don't know if it will happen.
So, he'd be one large cornerback.
Yeah, I mean he'd be he's not.
Well, he'd be about
5'11", but he's probably a good 215-ish. And
is he that much bigger than Bernstein now, though?
Yeah, Bernstein is probably 5'10", probably 195-ish.
Bernstein's rare, though. Bernstein's built like a college wrestler, where they always pack in like 20 more pounds of muscle than you think they ought to.
Yeah, I think he looked really good in bowl practices. He looks he's another guy. You know, you talk about Jewel Hampton coming back hungry. I think that Bernstein's going to come back, and you know he was a pretty highly regarded recruit.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't really been a starter yet. I think the motivation is going to be there, and you know, balls in his court. I think he'll respond. Although I think Hyde was the first cornerback in after Prater got hurt in the Orange Bowl. So
yeah, he was.
Maybe that was something too. I don't know.
Is it? Do you think it's Bernstein's to lose, or are we going to have those three in place?
I think it's open. I think. And you can throw in Greg Castillo, and then you can throw in Willie Lowe in that equation, too.
Well, so that's five good cornerbacks.
Out of those four guys, you can find one.
I would take maybe slight umbrage with the use of the word good there, but there's five corners.
People who have been deemed well enough to play on the Iowa Hawkeye.
Okay, good enough.
Dick.
We're replacing the best corner we've ever had. I think we probably should,
Okay.
I'm throwing Tom Knight in there too, even when I say that. That's right.
No. Oh yeah, he is the best cornerback Iowa's ever had. Oh yeah.
Yeah. And he's gone.
Damn it.
I told myself I wouldn't cry.
He was good.
Mark, you see any freshmen, any incoming true freshmen making an impact here?
Well, I think CJ Fedora will play. After that,
Coker possibly. I'm assuming
Coker probably.
I'm assuming there's a red shirt waiting for Derby.
That's kind of the point I was trying to make with the quarterback post I made. Conceivably, Derby. I mean, if he sticks with his gun as a quarterback, he could go 3 years without seeing the field, and that to me is mind-boggling. I think he's going to want to see the field before that.
Yeah, I think so. Well, the fact that he even came to Iowa early to start practicing with them, I think that he wants at least 3 years starting, wherever it may be.
I would agree, but the math doesn't work for that. It does.
Well, it could.
It depends on if he's better than Vandenberg at quarterback, and that really remains to be seen.
Yeah, yeah. I think Vandenberg, if nothing else, he has good film now, and he's if Stanzi throws four interceptions, they're not, you know, Stanzi's out probably. I mean, he, whatever. I mean, Stanzi's his weakness is his decision making. He doesn't always make the best decisions, and it shows up in the interceptions. And not necessarily the I think the pick six Orange Bowl is probably more DJK than Stanzi.
Yeah.
But I think that if there's anything, if Stanzi has four interceptions in a game again, you know, Vandenberg had it. He opened some eyes at Ohio State. He's got some. He's probably a more sound, mechanically sound quarterback than Stanzi. And he, you know, he's being groomed. I think if he puts on weight, a little more weight, probably about 10 more pounds, he shouldn't have anything to worry about. He'll be the starter after Stanzi's gone in 2011 and 2012. So that means for Derby, he's got three. He's got next year. He's not going to start.
No. Unless
and then he's in competition with. And then he's in competition with Vandenberg for 2 years. So, you know, that's a long time for an athlete to sit. And I don't think he's gonna. I think he might lose interest there. I think, you know, something could pop there that way. But we'll see. I mean, yeah, maybe it takes 3 years to figure out Iowa's offense. I don't know.
Now, Mark, speaking of guys who look like they're possible transfer targets, is John Winkie going to stick around?
I don't know. It depends on what the feedback is for him. It's tough. That third quarterback, they've lost him before. And it's tough to keep a scholarship guy at that third quarterback. And right now they would have, you know, if he left, it'd be Wyatt Suits would be number three, or Derby. Wyatt Suits would be number a guy with a little bit of a resume at Iowa at number three. So, I don't know. I that whole transfer thing, I find it's tough because, you know, you're trying to read minds and predict things that, you know, you don't know simply. And I don't know. I think depends on how much you like for the Iowa too. It depends on where he feels like he is in the offense. I mean, Ferentz, I know, went on his way to mention him a few times in the fall after Vandenberg made his splash. I don't know how legit that was, but you know, they didn't look too wanky after Stanzi got hurt. So obviously he's behind Vandenberg, and we'll see. You know, that's hard for a lot of teams to hold on to.
Yeah.
Well, I with that, we'll let you go. I know the Blackhawks are on, and
well, they just lost 4-1.
Oh,
they're losers.
Damn.
Yeah. Hockey. Yeah.
Yeah, they suck this year.
When are you guys going to start a hockey blog? No, I'm just kidding.
I
try not to jam sports down people's throat that they don't like.
It's not that I don't like hockey. I just don't know it that well.
I know. Or foreign. Like
after,
I'm trying to. I know you guys are sort of into soccer. I'm trying to get into that a little bit.
Well, after hearing Oopspow try to pronounce Zusevic's name, I don't think hockey's probably his game.
Wayne Gertzakai? What? Mario Lemex?
That's when I was doing hockey and I had would occasionally have to spell it Lemieux or Lamoureux or something like that. I would just so dumb it down phonetically to Lemieux, and that's how I did it. So, the secrets of good journalism right there.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Mark, and we'll remind our readers and our listeners that they can catch you at On Iowa and in the Gazette.
Always appreciate that. Thank you very much. And as soon as I can control my blog again, and I don't know if this will ever happen, I totally plan to put you guys on a link thingy like I had on the old blog, which worked really well, but you couldn't sell ads on. So that's why we move, and we can sell ads on this one, but I don't get to put any cool stuff on it. So maybe we'll get that figured out in the next.
Capitalism always gets in the way.
Yeah, well, what we'll do is we'll kidnap your editor at gunpoint and make him promise that you can do that. And
forget about the editor. We're taking a loss.
I haven't seen much of him since the Orange Bowl. I think he's
waking
stuff. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Well, thanks again, Mark, and we'll catch you next time.
You bet. Take care. Thank you.